You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to Colt Gennaro Chats on this Saturday afternoon where I am, Saturday night where Robbie Dunn is. Robbie, are they going mad outside your apartment? Is that are those all the Mallorca fans that have left the Vicente Calderon or the Wanda Metropolitano?
I don't know. I'm actually in my partner's mom's house, in her mother's house, so it's a new setting for me, and I don't know what's going on, but there's people just shouting on the street, and I'm kind of scared, so we better have like a code word. If I do this, I get into trouble there during the pod. But I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I think they lost their minds in at the Wanda anyway. But yeah, here I'm fine and glad to be with you.
Well, you're fine. I'm fine. Atletico are decidedly not fine, Robbie. That could be. That might as well be the traveling Mallorca support celebrating a famous win for their team over Atletico. The first time Mallorca have beaten Atletico away in 15 years, more than 15 years. They did it with a 2-1 comeback in the Spanish capital on Saturday night. Where do we start with this one, Robbie? This is a big blow for Atletico, and you can probably kiss La Liga goodbye at this point, can't you?
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't think it's not mathematically out of reach, but I think given how they played, unless they completely revamp everything about their identity, I don't see this being a very successful year for Atletico. If it was just maybe one thing they needed to fix, or if there was something they could do in the January transfer market, or if it was maybe just one injury they're waiting for someone to come back, and other than that was fine. I think the problem here is, and the problem we have discussing this is, we can pick out, oh, they're defending at set pieces, or oh, their rotations or the substitutions. I think the whole thing doesn't make none of this makes sense at the moment. and I think that there, even the rotations tonight, obviously when you're rotating, you're kind of limited. You have to give and take a little bit, and there's obviously going to be some changes, but it just doesn't make any sense. Even like bringing Kondogbia in and pushing Koke further forward, and like it just feels like I find, and then switching back to a back four because Carrasco wasn't there. I don't know. Like, I mean, I just this team doesn't have an identity at the moment, and I think that's far more worrying than defending at set pieces. Their inability to kind of link with the attack, all that. They just don't have an identity, and that's seriously worrying.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that Atletico cannot defend well at set pieces, the fact that they have regressed tremendously defensively, the fact that the substitutions and the starting formations are odd, and there are decisions made to change things up at odd times, all of that can be traced back to this team not having a definable, repeatable identity from one game to the next. Mallorca played earlier this week. They played a cup game earlier this week. Atletico had the week off, so an entire week to following the win over Cádiz last weekend, which we talked about as one of Atletico's better performances this season, especially in that second half, they had an entire week to further refine and ramp things up and get set to go on some kind of run here. But instead, we were treated to another instance where Atletico could not get going in the first half. Mateus Cunha making his first start of the season. He did get Atletico's goal, which we'll talk about, but he also missed one really good chance either side of halftime. Mallorca grew into the game after the first 20 minutes. It went to the half goalless, and Atletico again, Robbie, left themselves, instead of 90 minutes to try to win a game, only 45 minutes to try to win a game. What is behind these slow starts? I think it can also be traced back to the team's confusion and the questions about their identity, but it seems to me to be rather simple. Just start games well, start games with aggression and intensity rather than wait and try to settle it all when the margins are much thinner.
Yeah, but I think that speaks to Simeone's unwillingness to take a risk, and I think it's hard to see in the statistics. It's hard to kind of see when you're watching the game. But when you're not, when you're not willing to push it and to force it, it's much harder to create chances. And the problem is that Atletico are so good right now that a draw against we've talked about this endlessly, but a draw against Atletico Madrid at home is a good result now. So it's up to Atletico Madrid to do something. And if not, we're going to get a stalemate. So what happens is Atletico have three ways of playing. They play really slow. They play frantically when they need to get a goal. And we can't confuse frantic here for fast, fluid football. Frantic is different. And then the third way is they can play on the counter when they do take the lead, which they can't. And we saw today that they did, and they couldn't play on the counter. But that's up to kind of how a team defends against them when they do take the lead. But just when it's nil all, they play either really slow or else frantic. There is no definitive style as to how Atletico are going to systematically put a team who's playing in a low block under pressure, which is weird because Simeone is the master of the low block. All he has to do is reverse engineer his tactics and say, when Atletico were in their prime, when that version of Atletico, the earlier version of Atletico, was in their prime, and we played a 4-4-2, what are the ways that managers hurt us? And then reverse engineer and do that. But it just feels like Simeone doesn't really know how to do that, or because even when they're playing frantically, it's just kind of like, it's like send the ball out to the wings and cross it in somehow, and someone will do something, instead of this kind of, as I say, systematic way of breaking down a team and this is how we're going to hurt you. And we saw today, like, but this also speaks to just there's a disconnect there with this team. And when I say there's a lack of identity, it's like everyone's on a different page. So you had Koke, for example, numerous times tonight with his hands up in the air, like, yeah, like, give it to me.
Yes, yeah.
It's just so slow. And it's just that just feels like to me like these players are all on different pages. Like when you watch, I use Barcelona a lot as an example because Barcelona are kind of like the benchmark for. Okay, they're not always amazing at it, and they don't always have the players that can do it, but they know what they're trying to do at least. And whether or not they execute that, and whether or not it works, or whether or not they have the players to do it, is a different story.
Mm-hmm.
At least they know what they're trying to do, and in terms of their philosophy, Atletico right now, it feels like They don't know what they're trying to, they don't know what they're doing, and they're all on different pages, and then just in terms of like the defensive frailty from set pieces, that's just an I think rather than that being like some systematic or tactical issue, that's just a weakness, a lack of concentration, an uncertainty. About an uncertainty that's a characteristic of this team, and I think that we can, and that's why when I said at the start of the podcast, we can talk about this and we can go into detail about the set piecing and who should be marking who. No, look, this is just there's an uncertainty and a lack of concentration that's characteristic of this team, rather than some kind of an issue that we can put our finger on and say, oh yeah, he should have marked him there.
Yeah.
And do you get me?
Yeah, there's not just one thing that's wrong with Atletico right now, and it's all, we're trying to trace it all back to this idea that where Atletico used to have a very strong, clear, defined identity. And when we say identity, there's a lot that goes into that. Identity is the way you play, the personnel you use. It goes beyond formation and whether you foul a lot or whether you how much possession you have. It's the character that goes into it. It's the chemistry between players, the moves and the ideas behind executing a certain strategy or a certain tactical game plan. Atletico do have some plan. I don't think Simeone comes into these games just, you know, saying let's just vibe our way to victory. I think that there is a fundamental disconnect, and it stems back to the squad not having that defined character. It also goes back to Atleti's squad just being tremendously imbalanced. We talked about this as a concern before the season started, the early games of the season. We were kind of thinking, okay, these might be some warning signs. Well, the warning signs are now just blaring red alarms, Robbie. This team has more forwards available than center backs. Atletico lost another defender today. Jose Jimenez might be back for the Porto game Tuesday, but Stefan Savic had to exit the game with a muscle pull inside the first 10 minutes. That's probably going to be a couple weeks for him. So as of now, you're looking at Mario Hermoso being the only available center back for a do-or-die game in the Champions League on Tuesday, and that's just poor team building. And that also contributes to why Atletico just cannot get going. They take one step back and then one step forward and one and a half or two huge steps back, and it's the imbalanced squad, and Simeone's trying to find solutions, but he can't quite get it right either, and it's just a mess. And Mallorca, I think, brilliantly exploited that in the second half today. How do Atletico fix what is a very fundamental imbalance? Because we're looking at where they are right now, actualmente, where they are, and they're basically out of La Liga, and they could be out of the Champions League on Tuesday. So they will have relatively, other than the domestic cup competitions, little to play for. How do Atletico address, how does Simeone address this imbalance?
I think that what we are seeing is, when you say they take one step forward and then two steps back, I think that's being very kind to them. I don't think we've seen them taking a step forward this season. I think that they're standing still. I think that they're completely standing still. And just to get back to the identity of the team, I think what's happening is, and when you say it's more than just a tactic or it's more than just a telling people what to do, I think it comes down to the personality of the coach. And I think that like that kind of identity, that character, it's the message that the manager gives to the players every single day of training. It's an authenticity, and this is where I feel like Simeone and Atletico are falling down. In that, I find this very interesting. The way that managers are. So for example, like we look at say Zidane, and he was seen as a kind of a clap your hands. I think they referred to him as a clap your hands manager, kind of tell the players what to do. And you've got and the reason he was it that way is because he has this charisma about him, and he he had a respect that came with that, because he was the very best player in the world at one point in time, and he's a cool, calm customer, and that's who he is. And like Jose Mourinho, his tactics were very cynical, because he's a cynical person. He doesn't trust people. He's very contrarian. He's very, and that was who he was at the time. Louis van Gaal, for example, very regimented and stuff like that. And I think that Simeone, the reason why his Cholismo was so successful, because that's how he sees football. That's who he is. He's a risk-free manager. He was like that as a player, and this is who he is. So now all of a sudden, and this is getting into the difficulty of the task that Simeone has on his hands and what Atletico Madrid are asking him to do. And it goes beyond football. The Atletico Madrid are asking him, when he took over in 2011, Atletico Madrid were Villarreal or they were a nobody on the world stage, on the European stage. Now he's brought them into the realm. When you're talking about the top teams in the world, you're talking about Man City and Chelsea and Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico. They are mentioned. Okay, so now all of a sudden, there's something else expected of Atletico. And which alters how teams play against them, which alters like even, for example, Mallorca coming to what was the Vicente Calderon 10 years ago, it wasn't as big a deal as it is now, coming mm-hmm. to the Wanda Metropolitano, playing against Atletico Madrid. It's a primetime game now. It's kind of like every team, and Alex Ferguson used to say this about his Man United side, every game against Manchester United is a cup final, and that makes it that much harder to and that's why they can't miss a step. So back to the identity. Simeone is now, his message, the characteristic of this team is one of uncertainty. It lacks authenticity, because Simeone is trying to tell the players to play in a way that is not authentic to himself. He's asking them to go and do something that he's not convinced, and people, players aren't stupid. They can see. I've got a certain personality. If I went out in the morning and started kind of trying to live in a different way, people automatically can see he's not being authentic to himself, and people can see that, even if they can't exactly put it into words, or even if they can't exactly kind of put their finger on what it is, they can see it and they can sense it, and your message doesn't get through the same way as it does when you are being 100% authentic. And I think right now that's exactly what's wrong with Atletico Madrid. It's Simeone is asking the players to do something that he doesn't fully understand, nor does he fully believe in it, and he's a little bit uncomfortable, and I think that that's coming down to through into the team, and that's where what I'm saying when I'm talking about there's a kind of an uncertainty, you know, and a weakness and an inauthenticity to this team that wasn't there back in the day, because Simeone was absolutely 100% convinced, and he in turn convinced the players that this is the way forward for us. And right now the way forward for Atletico is one that Simeone doesn't believe in, and one that he's not sure of, and I think that we're going to continue to see this Atletico Madrid side playing this way as long as Simeone is trying to do that, which as I said about him trying to do something that is really, really hard. Alex Ferguson did it, Arsene Wenger did it, players, managers have done long reigns at clubs, but they did it Wenger did have an identity that was kind of true, and he was true to that, but that also, that style lent itself well to expansion, and it's actually the reverse of Simeone. When they needed to shut down and stop letting in goals, they couldn't, and eventually that's what ended up getting Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
Alex Ferguson Alex Ferguson didn't really have like some overarching philosophy of the way football should be played. He was way more kind of pragmatic. And it kind of, he could kind of do whatever it was that was needed, and he was a great man manager and all that stuff, right? So he did that, but that was back 10 years ago, and football now is moving so fast, and the things are kind of changing so quickly that Simeone is being asked to do something that football has moved on, and he kind of, we're kind of underestimating the task that he's being asked to do, is my point. And that's a very, very long-winded answer, but I think it's really complicated, and I'm just trying to kind of get across what I think about this. So
I think it's one of the better speeches in Colt Chinero chat history, Robbie.
Oh, put it down. Put it on the back. We'll get it put on the back of a T-shirt.
Right? That's right. That's right. We'll sell it. Make some money off it.
One of those really, really long T-shirts. I think it is important to kind of consider. But then at the same time, I mean, if Simeone was a volunteer and you were like, oh my God, what a guy, like he's just trying his best. No, and this is another problem in that, like, simultaneously, he's an Atletico Madrid legend. He has brought them to height previously unknown to the club, and that can be true, but also he's also the highest paid manager in the world. You have to start asking questions, and you have to start demanding more of this team, because even when they won the league last year, it wasn't pretty, and I'm not saying that pretty football is always successful football, but it has to be better than what we're watching right now. And forget about it, even if Atletico won that game tonight, I still would have probably come on and begrudgingly said, yeah, look, good win, but I'm still not convinced.
Yeah, even if they win this game tonight, they threw away that first half. The only goal came from Cunha from across it, from a Correa cross that was almost cleared and totally screwed up. Cunha scores this by stabbing at it when he's on his behind. That's the only way the ball goes in, and it's cleared just after it goes over the line. So it wasn't even a pretty period of play. It wasn't just this fluid, flowing build-up play. It was a really scrappy, gutty goal. Atletico then don't touch the ball for the next 10 minutes. Franco Russo heads in the equalizer, and Take Kubo scores the breakaway at the start of stoppage time to wrap it up. 23 goals conceded in 20 games this season for a team that you could look back on years and years and years and say, this is how Simeone's Atletico play. They have a low block. They're not going to concede very many shots, let alone goals. They have one of the world's best goalkeepers if things go wrong, if not the world's very best goalkeeper. And it's all really come down like a house of cards in the last 6 months. And it's, you mentioned Ferguson and Wenger and very, very tenured, long tenured managers in this game. It's, you don't see what Simeone has done at all anymore. Simeone is going to celebrate his 10th anniversary in about 3 weeks at this club. And his longevity has brought in a new kind of golden generation for Atletico, nearly a title per season since he returned to the club. Incredible. But he is the highest paid manager in the world. Or one of them, depending on the source. You have a very expensively assembled top-heavy squad. Like, we're not even going to really talk about Joao Felix today because there's not really much to talk about. Again, he's back from injury. He played half an hour, didn't do a whole lot. You need to expect more of guys like him. You need to expect that guys like Rodrigo De Paul and Tomo Lema are going to stamp their authority in the 11 rather than, you know, they'll start some games, play 65 minutes, and they'll come on and others play 25 minutes. What is going on? These are players that you shelled out a whole lot of money for, and there isn't really a sense that they've stamped their authority on this team every single game, that they go out there and write, this is a talisman, this is a guy you can turn to, this is a guy who will drive the play forward. A couple other things I was watching tonight. You wrote a column about Mateus Cunha earlier this week. If you haven't read it yet, make sure you do. About how Cunha's counter-pressing and his ability to press high up the pitch could be Atletico's biggest weapon going forward. And we saw that in this game. I thought Cunha was arguably Atletico's best player despite the chances he missed before putting one in. he comes off immediately after he scores. Atletico don't touch the ball the next 10 minutes. Simeone doesn't have... It's like the players are pushing Simeone to play a certain way that he's not entirely sure about playing. And to regain that authority, off comes Cunha, off comes Correa, and Atletico cannot control the ball at all. That just emblematic of where this team is and where they've been this season. Not enough is... They're not giving... The players aren't giving enough, and Cholo just seems very uncertain and stubborn about returning to the back four and trying to find defensive solidity that he simply doesn't have the personnel to achieve anymore. So you gotta move entirely to a new style. There are no half measures. You can't get caught between two eras, because when you do, you get results like this. Your prestige and your reputation both slip, and you're left fighting for very little by the time January rolls around.
And I think your point there about, like, we haven't spoken about Yao Felix, but I think that would be to miss the point, because I think that focusing on certain, like, individual players and everything, the reason they haven't stamped their authority is because they haven't been allowed to stamp their authority. Now, I understand that there are injury concerns and that and stuff, but mm-hmm. I just think that... But the uncertainty that I'm speaking about is uncertainty in that... manner as well, and that Joe Felix, he plays now and then he comes off, and then they go through, they play poorly, so he starts and then he doesn't start, and then he plays as a second striker, but then he plays it on the left, and then he's kind of dropped for a game, and it's just like I think Simeone just doesn't really know what he's trying to achieve here at the moment. And I think that the kind of focus on one, like even Cunha today, and the reason why I think Cunha, I thought he was better in the first half, and he did try to kind of, and he did manage to press high, and he won the ball back a couple of times, and he started a couple of nice counter-attacks and got fouled and stuff like that. But I think the reason for that is because he's not, he has his enthusiasm hasn't been tainted yet because he hasn't really played, and he came on and he was like, oh, I'm gonna do something here. I think the problem is if he continues to play, and we saw it in the second half where he kind of, even he didn't really know where he was kind of meant to be, because it turned into that frantic style that Atletico right. play, where he was just kind of moving around looking for spaces, and there was no, like, it just feels like, and I'm sure, again, as you said, like, that I'm sure there is a plan, but it just doesn't seem like it's very clear at the moment. And I think that we saw that in the second half with Cunha, like, at the start he looked good when it was slow and when everything was kind of in front of Atletico, but then as soon as the kind of game started slipping away from them, they had no belief in what they were trying to do. And then it just turned into franticness, and I think that, it's more of a team-wide issue than any particular player.
Yeah, is what I mean. Yeah, it's not fair to pin it on any one player, but there are players of whom much is expected, and who we can expect much, and talk about it when they don't. I mean, Koke is another player who I think fits in this mold. Koke is getting closer to the game's record. If he stays healthy, he might get there at the end of this season, if not early next season, in like 9 or 10 months' time. I wrote about this a little bit after the Milan loss, where there's some complacency, I think, that has also slipped in, that is now unfortunately part of the team's identity. There are too many players who aren't being properly challenged. Like, Koke is badly in need of a rest. He had a particularly poor game today, one of his worst displays that I can recall. The passes weren't crisp, they weren't getting where they needed to go. Even when he was able to push up a bit further in the second half, it just didn't happen for him. He looks physically at a lower level than is required. Guys like Koke and Hermoso and guys like that who aren't displaying that they're at an elite level at the moment, who have shown that in the past and could, in Koke's case especially, could get there again, but they're not being properly challenged because the squad is imbalanced and the style of play is just, it's not clear what Atletico are trying to do from game to game. It looks like it is, and then it's not. The point about Cunha and the point about Atletico's forwards as well, like, in modern football, you need players who are versatile. You need forwards who can play all along the front three, who can pop up all around the final third. But Simeone's Atletico is not Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. You know, it's not Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. We saw that in the Champions League this year. Simeone does not have these kinds of really... He doesn't have an extremely deep squad. He doesn't have these kinds of really expensive switchblade playmakers who can also finish chances. Like, Simeone just doesn't have that at his disposal. And the players want to play a certain way, and I think Simeone, he wants to win games, whatever manner that takes. And Simeone is, at his essence, a pragmatist. But I don't know, man. Just the way this game unfolded, it felt like it was only going to go one way when Mallorca found the equalizer. And Atletico played frantically. They gave away the ball after Llorente failed to cut out a pass. I can't remember who supplied it for Kubo, but there you go. Yeah, just a really rough one. And the vibes entering the Porto game on Tuesday, Robbie, they really couldn't be worse. Where Atletico need to win, and they need to hope Liverpool do them a favor to progress. I can't see Atletico going to Porto and winning, looking like this. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the only thing is that, like, we spoke earlier about Atletico being out of the title race. The only thing that I would say is maybe it will be a more authentic performance, and it will be more kind of free flowing when they don't have anything to play for. And I know that they've a lot to play for on Tuesday, but they have to win, and it's kind of basically just go out and play, because we've essentially not that they've got nothing to lose, but I think the most impressive victories Atletico have had this season were against Barcelona and Real Betis. And I think that when teams do play a little bit more against them, I think Atletico, and here's kind of what it looks like in some ways. Atletico define themselves, or they find their identity based on how they oppose, how they stand in opposition to their opponents. If you get me, Espanyol or someone like that are just I don't mean to be disrespectful to those teams, but if they're just a bland, sitting deep, waiting for Atletico to do something, Atletico don't know how to position themselves. Whereas you get a Barcelona who are going to play a very, very certain style, and Simeone can clan against that, and he knows how to. He defines himself based on the strength of his opponent's identity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, like, against a better team, when they kind of have to go out and play, and I think that they can actually, and are given a chance to go out and play, I think that they can be better, and they do have the talent. It's just a matter of when they play against, like, a team like a Mallorca, who aren't going to ask questions of Atletico. Atletico have to force the issue. I think Atletico find it hard to find themselves in those games, and that's when the doubt creeps in. And I think that obviously that's not the case against the likes of Liverpool, where they got beaten and got heightened. But Liverpool are also world class. So, like,
right.
It's not like Atletico are going to beat the best teams. But I do think that they find it easier to find themselves against the better teams who have a really, really strong identity. That's when Atletico, I think that that's kind of how Simeone sees Atletico Madrid as the underdogs, that they have to pick themselves as that, as opposed to knowing how to go out and take a game on, if that makes sense.
Which it really should be different by this point. Like, Atletico are the defending champions. They're not going to be underdogs against very many teams. Like the underdog identity, yeah. Like, you can't claim you're the underdog when Simeone is paid as well as he is, and when you have players as expensive as Joao Felix and Tomo Lemar in your squad. Like, you can't really reasonably, rationally claim that. I would have thought the opposite would have been true today. And Simeone was speaking after the game and said, we let in two goals from two opportunities. That didn't happen in the past, and it's happening now. Which, you know, it seems to me that just the lack of concentration has hurt Atletico so many times this season, and I can't really foresee it changing so quickly in 2 days to save their Champions League season. I don't know. I kind of would have thought they would have delivered a really good performance against Mallorca today. They really did only give up two or three premium chances, and two of them went in. At Porto, on the road, the first of four consecutive games away from home, possibly only one available central defender. The optimism is waning. That's how I'll put it.
And I think on the point about being the underdog and kind of that should have changed by now. This is exactly what I'm saying in terms of I could turn around in the morning and be called. I don't know who would tell me this. I'm trying to think of a scenario. They could bestow me upon me. You are now the king of Spain. Your title now is the king of Spain. Okay, that's fine, but it doesn't change anything about how I think. And Simeone, you can say he's the highest paid manager, but it doesn't change his fundamental understanding of Atletico. And he says the way he sees this Atletico is physical, counter-attacking, underdog style. And that's how he sees the world. That's how he sees Atletico. And he doesn't understand a world where they're not the underdog. And this is where the cognitive dissonance is coming in when we watch them, because we're looking at going, this doesn't make sense. And it's what's happening on the field when the players are looking and going, we don't know what to do. And this is the uncertainty. I think that it should have changed by now. But Atletico now, and I know this is sacrilege to say, Atletico Madrid need a manager who sees Atletico as what they are right now. And that is one of the best 18s in Europe. And will line them up like that, and who thinks like, and who can think like that. And I think that this is why, and I mean Simeone, I don't know what he can do what he wants. I mean, that's not really, I don't know what he's got, what he's thinking, but I think that that's why Simeone has maybe brought this team, and it's a credit to him, that he's brought them to the peak of the mountain. But in order for Atletico to make it on the next leg of the journey up the mountain, they need someone else to carry them. And I think that I've been kind of down on Simeone, even when they won the league. I was a little bit like, yeah, it was good, but they're kind of, like, it wasn't pretty. And I know I'm probably a little bit too much of an idealist. I'd prefer just to play lovely football all the time, which doesn't get results. But at the same time, I do think Simeone has maybe drained every single last drop out of this team. And maybe he needs to go away and take a year off and do a Pep Guardiola, go to New York, talk to Garry Kasparov about chess and the way the world works and broaden his mind. I don't know. But he maybe is thinking, I need to go and kind of refigure a few things. And either he comes back as a different manager, or he comes back as Jose Mourinho 2.0, and he just gets further and further behind. And not because he doesn't want to, but because he just can't. It goes against who he is. That's where we're at the moment, and I don't really know what else to say, because it's an interesting debate. And while we could get bogged down in the kind of details of the tactics and stuff, I think the important thing here is where Atletico Madrid are right now as a squad and what their kind of next move is going to be.
I think it's not only wild that we're having this talk, you know, 6 months after Atletico won La Liga, but that it's not totally out of left field or totally crazy to think that maybe that was the last hurrah under Simeone, that maybe there is, now this season is long, right? and stranger things have happened, can happen. Simeone's been here a long time. He's figured out a whole bunch of stuff in getting Atletico to this elite level. But I think it is important to talk about it, that no one is infallible here. Not even Simeone, who is regarded as a god at Atletico. Not even Simeone can be beyond reproach or beyond critiquing or beyond criticism. I think it's really important to have that, because a lot of Atletico social media is predicated on the idea that you can't criticize Simeone, that when anything goes wrong, it's Cerezo and Gil Marin's fault. It's Andrea Berta's fault. It's the plantilla's fault. It's the squad's fault. When, no, Simeone also bears responsibility here. And we'll see how the rest of this season goes. It's not looking great right now when Atletico are going to be likely going to be out of their two biggest competitions in a span of 4 days. And it's not even 2022 yet. The calendar year hasn't even changed yet. I think Simeone absolutely bears responsibility for that. And this confusion that's permeating through the squad, the questions about identity that we've been debating for the last half an hour, that comes back to the coach. Like, that Andrea Berta is not on the touchline. You know, Enrique Cerezo and Miguel Angel Gil Marin are not on the touchline. Cholo is. And Cholo and his technical staff bear responsibility for this and need to find solutions. Time is just about run out. The hourglass is just about expired. And Tuesday at Porto is a chance, one last chance to rebel. Simeone likes that word. It's a chance for the squad to rebel in the face of this mounting pressure and this mounting chaos. And it's a chance to finally, decisively put the right foot forward, and that we haven't seen yet this year. I'm dubious it's going to happen Tuesday. But either way, Robbie, we will be here to talk about it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm, definitely, yeah. And we'll see if the record has changed. But I doubt that it will.
Well, we hate to leave you on that note, but I think we're going to. This has been Colts Narrow Chat. Thank you all so much for listening. Robbie Dunn, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem at all, Jeremy. See you on Tuesday.
We will be back. It's a quick turnaround. We'll be back on Tuesday when Atletico face Porto, the first of four consecutive games away from home for Cholo's men, and probably going to have a lot more to discuss then. We'll speak with you on Tuesday. Adios.